Now, this is a Royal British Navy nuclear submarine. Now, nuclear submarines have the capacity to stay underwater for an extremely, extremely long period of time. They have the food, they have the technology, they have the fuel. They have no need to be coming up to surface. Except they do it very regularly for one thing. Is that, of course, these submarines are carrying weapons. And those weapons, if they ever need to be fired, will be dependent on their coordinates and their compasses and all their computers being 100% accurate to hit a target. Otherwise, it's going to be off target. So for that reason, every so often, more frequent than I realize, these submarines pop up to the surface to reset their instruments. There's something about being underwater and the pressure that can mess with them a little tiny bit. So to avoid having hitting a target that was not intended, they pop up to reset. And this is sort of what we are talking about this in this series. I want to just remind you here, Merriam-Webster says that to reset is a verb, which it's also a noun, but the verb form is to set again or anew. The Cambridge Dictionary, more with a definition we're familiar with, to turn a piece of computer equipment off, then on again when it does not work correctly, to make it start working correctly again. And dictionary.com says, to set, adjust, or fix in a new or different way. I was a kid, and I broke my left wrist falling off a papaya tree. And I had to go to a bone setter. We didn't have a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, to fix it. So I went to a bone setter who knew how to put it back in place. And though it's a little bit weaker, it really doesn't affect me. Again, resetting something so it works correctly. And that's what we want to talk about. We say that as a church that we exist to help people become fully committed Christians. And that's what we want to remind ourselves. What does it take to be that? So here's in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, you can read the whole text. But in this address to the church in Ephesus, there's all these commendations about the great things the church has done. And yet at the end of that, it says, but I do have one thing against you. You've messed up in one really important part. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And if you read it, if you study that, it's the love you had both for God and for each other. You have forgotten that. And so we are told to repent and do the things that you did at first. Really important. Again, if you think of your Christian faith, if you think of the moment that Jesus saved you, and your experience may have been different whether you were young or old when this happened, but when we begin to realize and the reality that God loved us and changed us and gave his life for us, when that begins to really settle in, we can become so overwhelmed with gratitude because of his grace for us. So I got a question. How would you summarize what it means to be a Christian? If somebody said, so I hear you're a Christian, what does that mean? How would you describe that? What would you say? Would you be able to summarize it into a couple of sentences? Most of us would probably struggle to some extent. So I want us to go into our first sermon. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you that today we get to worship you in a comfortable, cozy environment with other folks as we come together as the people of God to worship you and to hear your word and to be encouraged with each other's presence and through fellowship and through prayer, through worship, through the reading of the word, through hearing a sermon. We pray that you would speak to us, that we would be very keenly aware, whether we are here in person or online, of your presence and of your great love for us. We pray for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Pastor Debbie, a couple of weeks ago, preached on this text that I'm going to preach from. Loving God, loving people. I really do think that Jesus, of course, is being asked in this story in Matthew 22. It's also found in Mark. But he is being asked. He's really being tested. Somebody wants to put him in a difficult spot and asks him, what is the greatest commandment according to the law? And Jesus does what he does so well. He takes a tricky question and gives this amazing answer that the listener would have been left with, oh, well, I didn't think he'd answer it that way. Or when the question was genuine, would be, wow, that is really cool. So, when Jesus is being asked this, what is the greatest commandment? He says this, Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The other version, and your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus is saying the greatest commandment has two parts. Love God wholeheartedly. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. Love people around you. If you do this, Jesus says, you will have fulfilled everything that is required of you. Pretty simple, isn't it? So let me ask you a question. Is there anything in this answer that Jesus gives that you're like, I wonder what he means. I don't really understand that. Anybody? Anything in there? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Love me with all your heart. Love other people just like you love you. I know in this day and age, some of us, for a variety of reasons, have a hard time loving ourselves. And that's something that, you know, for some of us, we need healing from that. We need deliverance from that. For some of us, we need and have needed, and maybe down the road, we'll need some therapy to love ourselves, because we live in a culture and perhaps of things in our life that make it hard for us to love ourselves. But in a healthy person who has a healthy relationship with God, healthy relationships in general, they love and accept themselves, and Jesus says, in that same way, love others. So I think that being a Christian, we can really summarize it with these two statements taken from what Jesus has said. Number one, loving God wholeheartedly. All our mind, all our strength, all our emotion, all of our being, with everything that there is of me and of you. With that, we are supposed to love God. And the second part is loving others as we love ourselves. Now, I'm asking for a show of hands. Trust me, help me out here. I think that for some of us, it comes more naturally, or it's easier to love God. For others, maybe it is more natural, it's easier to love others as we love ourselves. So on that, based on that, how many of you would say, I just find it easier to love God? I mean, God's pretty cool, right? Like he loves us, he forgives us, he has a plan for our lives, he redeems us, he sent Jesus to die for us, he protects us in so many ways we don't even know about. He gives us peace, he gives us joy, he helps us get out of trouble. He keeps us from temptation. He's just so amazing. Of course, I think it's easy to love God. How many of you, though, would say, yeah, I really find it easy to love people. God is kind of like a distant idea. I don't see him. I read these things about him. I'm not so sure. But people I see, especially people that are nice to me and that love me, I find it easier to love people. Anybody? Okay, we have one or two hands kind of a little up. Probably we should have a third category. How many of you are just finding you love your pet easier than anything else? Your dog, your cat. Well, I don't know about cats, but dogs or, you know, bird or whatever you have. I do think that in life, whether it comes naturally more easy or not, for some of us, we just find it easier on a day-to-day basis to love God or love people, but harder to love both. And yet Jesus says we are called to love both. That's what we are called to do. And I want to remind you this morning of some of the things that Pastor Debbie said. And next week I'll have a little card for you to have, because I do think that it's worth asking ourselves these questions. I have them in the forms of a statement, but you can ask them in a form of a question. And then, if we are honest, let us evaluate ourselves. How are we doing in this loving God and loving people? So let me just remind you what Pastor Debbie said. Signs of loving God wholeheartedly, that you're learning more about God. There is so much to know about God. And a lot of it is right here. A lot of it is also just out in nature. Go out there and look at the various shades of yellow and red out there right now. The sunsets, the sunrise, all of those. General revelation, as theologians called it. I'm doing my last theology course in my seminary degree, and my book is like 1,400 pages. But there's more, because there's all these footnotes and all these scriptures and all of this. Friends, there is so much to know about God. And I think that when we are finally with God in heaven, we are going to say, I didn't know there was so much to God. I knew His love was amazing, but I didn't know it was this amazing. And then, you know, a few thousand years into eternity, we're going to say, well, it's actually more amazing than I thought. And His grace, and His forgiveness, and His care, and His power, and His holiness, and His forgiveness, and over and over and over and over again. I think it was Steve Fry who was asked told the story that he was reading in Isaiah where the heavenly beings, the story we see there, keep saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then we are told that this is what they repeat again and again and again. And he was kind of wondering, God, isn't that kind of boring? Can't they be a little more creative to say something more than holy is the Lord? And he said that what he felt that God revealed to him and said, Steve, every time that these heavenly beings proclaim that I am holy, I reveal, I unveil, I show them a little bit more of who I am, and their only reaction they have is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Friends, if we get to a point where we think we know all there is to be known about God, we've really lost sight of who God truly is. Find yourself wanting to obey God. So again, the question, do I find myself wanting to obey God more? Oh, the Bible said this. Okay, I guess I should do that. Oh, the Bible said this. I guess I should do that. Oh, Jesus said that I should do this. I guess I should do that. I want to do that. Forgive my enemies. Oh, that's not, that. I don't want to do that. But okay, God said I should, I will. And all of these ways in which God calls us to Himself. You know, I've been thinking about wearing masks. I don't like wearing masks any more than you or other people. But I was thinking about this, especially as we were getting ready to start singing with masks aloud. And there are some people who are very militant about not wearing masks, and that it's a right and that it's a hoax and so on. I remember back in the early 80s in Idaho, where we lived there, we were some of the first people in our town to start using seatbelts before it actually became a law to have to wear seatbelts. And people would look at you weird. You know, as I sat thinking about this, you know why we wore seatbelts when it wasn't allowed to wear seatbelts? It's very simple. It's a smart thing to do. Honestly, it's a smart thing to do. Wear a seatbelt. And when it comes to obeying God, it's a smart thing to do. God did not give us guidelines and regulations and rules for us, especially as we look into the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus. He was not trying to make our life miserable. He was not trying to say, I'm boss. You have to do what I say. He has given us commandments that are smart for us to obey them. So let's do that. Are you digging into deeper theology? Are you wrestling with some of the hard things about God that they don't make sense at first surface reading? Are you saying, okay, well, if God is so powerful and so loving, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why? Why would a good God allow such things to happen? Are you wrestling with, people say that there's contradictions in the Bible. Are there? I should dig into that and find out, do a little homework. Here's some of the things that Deb reminded us of. A few more. You're not waiting on others to feed you. Now, it doesn't happen anymore, and it doesn't happen here, but I've been in settings where people say, well, you know, I'm going to leave the church because I'm just not being fed. The Bible teaches us that we are to feed ourselves. We are to train ourselves. I always say that's like going to Boston Pizza every Sunday, only for a lunch meal, and then going back on Wednesday and saying, you know, you guys didn't do a good job of feeding me. I'm kind of getting hungry again. That's kind of like the same idea. You got to feed yourself. And again, the best food, the best bread, the best steak, the best delicacy, the most filling things you will find about God are right here. Right here. God has spoken to us through His Word. Again, a couple more things. Your worship is more than singing. Our worship is more than singing. We have made that such a big thing that when our government, for good reason, said that we should not sing in settings like this, we're like, well, how am I going to worship? Friends, that is not the only way we worship. There are so many other ways to worship that do not involve using our voice. And your prayer is more than speaking. We talk to God, but we don't always listen. I may have shared this story in the late 80s, around the time that I first came to Canada. I remember I was complaining to God. I said, God, as I've been reading the Old Testament, you spoke to Adam, to Enoch, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Samuel, to David, to the prophets, and you never speak to me. I really was complaining. And I so distinctly remember the Lord prompting me to go back and read some of these passages and to realize I've been trying to speak to you through my word. But you're not reading it like I want to speak to you. So this is the most amazing way in which we can stop and listen to God. But in our prayer, let's listen to see what He has to say. Friends, His word will feed us. His word will feed us. It will feed our souls. It will bring peace to our situations. It will encourage us when we're afraid. It will do so much. And it's right here through His Word. I know that sometimes in our Pentecostal circles, we're like, well, we want another word from the Lord or a fresh word from the Lord. And I'm not opposed to that, friends. But if God said nothing else to us ever again, what He has said in this book is enough for us to know Him, to know how much He loves us, His plan for our lives, and the life He wants us to live to glorify Him, and that is good for us, good and healthy and wholesome for us. It's right here. I am not opposed to God speaking a word to me in any other way, but if He never spoke again, God has already spoken to us in His book. Let us remember that. And this is one of the reasons why we want us to be in the Word on a daily basis. Let God speak to us. Again, some of the things that Pastor Debbie reminded us of how we can know that we are loving ourselves and our neighbors. You're growing in grace. I would guarantee you that if I asked a question for us to raise hands, how many of us need to go grow in showing grace to ourselves? Many of us need to start there. Many of us need to start there. God does not hate you. God is not waiting for you to mess up so he can whack you over the head. God is not like an examiner who's always coming. Oh, well, you know, you didn't clean here. Oh, you know what? You forgot this. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, you didn't do this right. God is not that way. You know why? Because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. That's the blessing of being a Christian, that when God looks at our lives, he sees Jesus. Isn't that cool? So give yourself grace, just like God has given you grace. But give grace to other people. You're growing as a person. Are you developing? Are you expanding your way of thinking? Are you reading material that's outside of that which you agree with and that is comfortable for you and looking at other things just to expand your mind? Again, there's so much stuff out there, especially about faith, but also just about being an informed person that you can get a hold of and really start to dig into some of those things. You're less worried about personal preferences and more concerned about unity. Isn't that a good thing? Not so concerned about personal. How many of you are parents? Let me see your hands. How many of you, when you had kids, all of a sudden, you just didn't quite have as much time as before to get ready, to eat your meal, to have a relaxed hot bath, to just up and go somewhere? It took more planning. You realized that that little creature needed attention and time and diaper change and being fed. And, you know, they were crying and they couldn't tell you why. And all of a sudden, that became a significant concern for you more than your own. And that same thing happens in the faith. We become more concerned about others more than my preference. You know, recently we read through 2 Corinthians, and Paul is talking about, he's like, yeah, I've learned that whatever environment, whatever group of people I am, without sinning, I can become more like them so that I will win them to Christ. I would prefer this, but I won't because of them. So that's what this is about. A few more. You're willing to speak the truth in love. And Pastor Debbie went over that, how hard it is for us to speak the truth in love. Most of the time, if we speak the truth, we don't do it in love. And those of us who our tendencies to be more loving, peace at all costs, we don't even speak the truth because we don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to be misunderstood. We don't want to hurt anyone. But there's this beautiful thing that can be done of speaking the truth in love. We can learn to do that. You're engaged in community. I want to repeat that again, how important it is to be in this setting, to be in the life groups, even though we have some restrictions, some COVID protocols. It's really important. Community. The Christian faith is not meant for you to live it alone. It's not even meant for you to live it alone as your family. It's not meant for you to live it with just a few friends. That is not the Christian faith. The community is a bunch of people, some of them that are not like me, that drive me crazy, who don't think like I do, who don't see God like I do, don't understand the Bible like I do, that want to sing different kind of music, that think I should dress a different kind of way, and that you show God's love only in this way and not that way. The beautiful thing about being in community is that all these people that maybe rub you the wrong way help you to grow in Christ likeness. And some of us don't grow very much in Christ likeness because we don't let other people very close into our lives. People who can see that there's some stuff there that is not very nice and not very Christ-like. That's why we want to be in community. That's why we want you to be part of a small group where it's easier to do that. But this is why we need each other. That's why the church is not meant. I realize that in some cases, in some settings, because of a variety of reasons, the home church is kind of like the model that works. Places like China, for example. But for most of us in North America, in Canada, here in Alberta, we need to be part of a larger community. And a couple more things. You're telling your story of the difference that God has made in your life, but also his story of how he is and what he has done for us. These are ways you know that you are growing in the second commandment. And you're spending time with your neighbors. Again, I remind you of something that Jesus was told. His accusations, when they couldn't accuse him of something that was really actually wrong, they would say, well, you know, Jesus, you were hanging out with drunkards and prostitutes. That's what they accused him of. Friends, How much time are we spending with people that don't know Jesus? How much do we really care that without Christ people actually go to hell? How concerned we are about what somebody might think if they saw us sitting with someone who was having a beer. Or God forbid that we'd go to the bar. Or that you talk to your, you can fill in the blank, neighbor or co-worker. You know, the people that most, that we most dislike are the people that God is trying to get us to love like he loves us. Really. The people that, someone has said, I believe that the person or the people you most love, the people you least love is the way you love God the most. Think of that. The people you love the least, that's how much you love God the most. That's kind of a crazy thought to think about, isn't it? So, as we begin our series, I'm reminding you that our motto is loving God, loving people. Let's do a really good job of those two things. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. I think most of us actually know what we need to do. And there's people in our lives that we can love and show Jesus to. So let's just do that. So I'm asking you over this next week, few weeks, and then let it become a lifestyle. But of those areas, again, I'll be giving you a little card. You can view this again online. But pick something. Of all of those things, pick one thing that in the next few weeks will help you in loving God wholeheartedly. Just pick one and do that consistently. And then also pick one thing of those that I mentioned that will help you to grow in loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That's all I'm asking you. And in this way, let us grow in our faith. Let us reset the button. Let us kind of like that, you know, that computer that's just going like this, the screen, and eventually you have to do Control-Alt-Delete and hold it until it goes blank. Maybe we need to do that in our Christian faith a little bit these days and say, yes, I've kind of lost track of how vital and important and actually how easy it is for me to love God and love people. Can we do that? Not just love each other, but love people that normally we would not want to love or spend time with. Can we do that? I encourage you, let's reset so that we refocus, so that we're not off target.